processes in terms of what we call cooking, right? There's bishul, there's afia, and there is tzliya. Right? Bishul meaning cooking, which is in a liquid medium. Afia is indirect heat baking, and tzliya roasting is direct heat. All of those are valid forms of cooking, and you'll be chayev min haTorah for what we're going to call bishul, of any of those types of cooking. Then we saw that cooking, right, the melacha bishul applies, right? Basically, the definition that we came up with, and this is going to be very, very important for what we're going to talk about today and perhaps tomorrow, basically the definition of cooking that we are working with is changing an item through heat. Changing an item through heat. And that can be something which is inedible and you're making it edible, but it can also apply to things that are inedible, like we saw when it came to the metal. If you melt the metal on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv for bishos. But again, what we're looking for is a change that's occurring through heat. That is going to be the definition of bishol. Then we saw that there is the question of bishol b'chama. So in the terms of the way that the Gemara used it is or, right, versus chama, or refers to eish. That refers to fire. So when it comes to bishul with fire, in terms of the medium that's generating the heat, so we said that this is going to be asur, whether it is, right, fire itself, or if it's toldas sahar. So either way, that is going to be asur min haTorah. That is going to be asur min haTorah. So if you have what we call the kli rishon, and you have the pot which is on the fire, whether you throw something into the pot while it's on the fire, or whether you take that pot while it's still hot off of the fire, and you put something into it, and you cook that when it's a kli rishon shelo al gavei ha'esh, a kli rishon that is no longer on the fire, that is still going to be bishul min haTorah. When it came to chama, right, when it comes to the sun, so cooking in the sun directly, we said, is again, both of these cases are aser min haTorah. When it comes to chama, when it comes to the sun, so the sun is cooking in the sun itself is mutter. So if you want to heat up your food on Shabbos and you have no heat sources available and it's a hot sunny day outside, you could take your food, put it outside in the heat, and even if it manages to, I don't know, get to really, really high temperatures, or you manage to, you know, cook your egg that's sitting in the bowl and it manages to hard boil, you probably shouldn't be outside. But if it manages to do that, that is not a problem. That is going to be mutter on Shabbos. When it comes to toldas hachama, which is something which is heated up by the, so you have the same frying pan that you would normally put onto the fire itself, that now it's, and this, that again, when we said that one, when you take it off of the fire, it's still going to be usher to fry your egg in. If it was heated up by the sun, that is a machlokas, whether that is mutter, that is usser. But that isser is only an isser dirabana. It's a machlokas, whether we say a gazera in that case, that shema michlefa, people are going to be confused. Nobody knows how that pan was heated up. Was it in the fire? Was it not in the fire? And therefore, we paskin that this is usser. Okay? Then, what we just finished off with was he said that, again, chama seems like a bit out there. It doesn't seem like such a concern. But the question is, depending how we understand the reason why chama is mutter. Why should it be permitted to cook in the sun? I'm cooking. The Torah says you're not allowed to cook. So why should it be mutter? So we said that there were two different explanations of why it would be mutter. One possibility is that it's going to be mutter because it's a shinui, or what Rashi called, right, ein derech. It's not the derech. It's not the normal way. Doesn't that normally knock it down from a doraisa to a derabbanan? So we said there are certain shinuyim that are such big shinuyim, it's so different that it's even going to be mutter. The other explanation was that it's mutter is because the Torah definition of bishul is with fire. That's how the Torah defines it, right? Bishul equals Esh. What's the difference between the two? So that we spoke about the cases where if the derech changes. So if you have a case where the derech is to cook in something which is not Esh, chama, or not chama, but we'll call it a microwave, right? A microwave which has electricity, but it certainly doesn't have Esh in it. If you cook in a microwave, is that going to be Aser min haTorah or potentially Mutter, although everybody seems to say that it's still going to at least be in Issa d'Rabbanan because of a Mechlefa type of Svara. Okay, so that was what we left off yesterday, Mechlefas between Reb Shlomo Zalman, who said like the second approach, and Reb Moshe, who said like the first approach. Okay, I think that's a very, not so quick, but pretty quick summary of what we saw yesterday. So now the question is, and the next step that we need to figure out is if we're talking about changes in objects, that an object, in order for it to be bishul, the object needs to change. So if I have a food item, let's take a food item for now, so we'll take a piece of chicken. So at what point, if I put it into fire or into the oven, oh, sorry, just one last point to make sure this is clear. In most nicer kitchens, the ovens that are used are electric ovens. Electric ovens. Very rarely. In apartments here, you may still have, you know, gas ovens. But most ovens and the double ovens that people have in parents' homes, those are generally electric ovens. So if you cook in an electric oven, is that going to be Eish or Chama? Eish or Chama?
Well, we're saying that Chama is only from the sun.
Not necessarily. It might be that Chama is anything which isn't Eish. Right? So if you assume like Rav Moshe, then it doesn't matter what it is. If a microwave is going to be Aser because it's the Derech, then anything which is the Derech is defined, like what you're saying, right? So if it's not Chama itself, and it's not going to be there's no Shinoi, it's the most normal way of, we'll call it baking, that's more precise, possible. That's certainly going to be Aser min haTorah. What if you assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman? You assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that, okay, if it's the derech, the definition of bishul is Esh, but the definition of bishul is Esh, it's still not Esh. So maybe it should only be Aser midrabanan. That can't be right. So why can't that be? So the post can point out that when you have electric ovens, what's happening? There are metal coils that are heated up that are becoming red hot. We know that bishul applies to that as well. So it might be interesting that the bishul might actually be at an earlier stage, meaning you're turning on the oven, potentially maybe you're already over on bishul, even before you put the food in. Maybe. So that's the question. It's not clear. The way that everybody sees, the question is that, does that make it into Esh or not? Does that make it into Esh or not? Like the way he writes it here. Good. So he writes, Machshiri chashmal sheish bem gufei chimo hamislatem v'sa'ad meidonim ke'esh atzma. They want to say that it's considered to be Esh. He quotes that from several of the more modern poskim. So, the Orach HaShabbos. The Orach HaShabbos. So he assumes, and again, it makes a lot of sense, that not only does that have, but again, so then the Chiddush might just be that you're over earlier. Not only over, but maybe even on the metal itself, you'd have a bishul. It's not softening it, so maybe that's slightly different. But either way, we're saying that it does have a din of Esh. So again, there's no big major kula of our ovens because they are electric. Fine. Moving on to today. So if bishul, now that we've defined bishul as bishul is a change which is generated through the heat, so we have to figure out. Let's look at food. When is the food changed? When is there a significant enough change that it's considered to be bishul? So the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chaf Amar Aleph says, Amar Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Shum Kemaychul Ben Jusoy Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nachrim. So the two things that the Gemara just told us. One thing is that there's something called Michael Ben Drusoy. Michael Ben Drusoy, we'll have to define that momentarily. The second thing that it told us is that that's not considered to be Bishul in another area of Halacha which depends on Bishul, which is when it comes to Bishul Akum. When it comes to Bishul Akum. And there are different places, and we'll see as we move through this sugya over here, where there are going to be similarities and differences between Bishul B'Shabbos and Bishul Akum. So the question is, what is Michael Ben Drusoy? So if it's K'Michael Ben Drusoy, Ein Bo Mishum Bishul Einachrim. So what that seems to say, is that once an item has reached Michael Ben Drusoy, if a guy then cooks it, it's not going to be a problem of Bishul Akum anymore. Not going to be a problem of Bishul Akum anymore. That seems to be that something already took place. So Rashi says, Ben Drusoy listim haya. Ben Drusoy was either a band of robbers, a robber. Rashi seems to be saying it. Listim haya. I don't know. Singular, I'm not sure. So yeah, I don't know if we're talking about it. There were some robbers, and umevashel bishulo shlish. They would cook their food a third of the way. They were on the run. They had to keep. They had to keep moving, and they couldn't sit there waiting for their food to cook all the way. And therefore, at the Ora, what it's saying is that at the earliest moment that it can be eaten, at the earliest moment that it shifts from being inedible to edible, they're ready to eat it because they don't have time to sit around and wait and risk being caught or whatever is going to happen to them. So once it's K'maycho Ben Yusai, once it's cooked a third of the way, it's considered to be cooked. The Rambam argues, the Rambam in Perek Tes, Halacha Hei Nevi Shabbos, says, Lo nitzlo b'gritz avan nisbar shel kulo chatzi bishul, if you cook the entire thing, half of the bishul, chayiv. At that point, they're going to be chayiv. Halfway, says the Ravid, Amaram chatzi bishul perish, where do you get that from? K'maychel ben Jusoy. Again, the same svara, but a different point of definition. So bishul, apparently, right, bishul equals the point of Michael ben Drusoy. And now we have a machlokas, where Rashi says that it's a third of the way, and the Rambam says that it's halfway. How do you measure that? So look over the simplest way is you look at a recipe, right? Every recipe says on it, or almost every recipe says on it, how long the chicken, whatever it is, needs to go in the oven. So if the chicken has to go at 350 for an hour and a half or whatever it is, something along those lines. So if it's halfway, it should be 45 minutes. And a third of the way will be less time than that. That's what the Chazon Ish says. The Chazon Ish in Siman Lamed Zayin Ozvav. Fine bishul hu tzura ba'ochav lo shayi bo chatzoyim v'mida v'tzarech l'shar b'zman ha'bishul mizvashol gosorka b'beis shos arba rego amim l'shlish bishulom. So you figure it out. You figure out mathematics. Now the Orach HaShabbos points out that if you're familiar at all with the kitchen, that's not necessarily the way to distinguish between something which is half cooked and a third of the way cooked and fully cooked. Meaning, this is probably the best mashal I can give. My kitchen experience is basically limited to a barbecue. So you have a piece of meat on the barbecue. You have a piece of meat on the barbecue, and you have people that want their meat either rare, medium, well done. The major differences in the cooking are taking place at the end of the cooking. At the point where you're maybe halfway in the cooking, that's basically still raw. It's not even edible yet. The amount of change, of qualitative change that takes place is much more in the latter part of the cooking than it is in the earlier part of the cooking. So it's a little bit difficult. Again, I don't have a better shot in terms of figuring it out.
It's probably better because chicken you can't eat raw, right? Everybody would agree you're gonna get sick if you eat it raw. Meat, on the other hand, is much different. I mean, you might get sick.
Right.
But I don't know if it's you don't pull it out exactly at the moment that,
like... No, you definitely have extra time. Again, anybody who's been asked by their wife, mother, somebody else, take the chicken out of the oven, obviously forgot about it. And you just don't tell them and it was a few minutes longer. Everything's fine. You have that you have that leeway of, I don't know, a good 15, 20 minutes. When, you definitely don't have to reveal anything and nobody will notice and the chicken's totally fine. But the reality is that the same way, when you try cutting raw chicken, it's not easy to cut.
Yeah.
If you take it out at a third of the way, my hunch is that it's probably the same as trying to cut the chicken when it's completely raw. Yeah. I understand where the Chazon Ish is coming from because how else do you figure it out? It's not so simple. It's not so simple to point out. And the Aruch HaShabbos himself recognizes that he doesn't really have a much better shot. It's hard to figure it out. If you have some sort of way of trying to decipher it. So that is that's great, but as long as you're don't l'chora, you need to, I don't know, at least be machmir. Generally, again, it's not always going to be a kula, but at least be machmir for the Chazon Ish. Again, in terms of cooking things up that have already been cooked, then it's going to be, if you rely on the Chazon Ish, it's going to be a kula, right? Meaning, if you want to assume that it's cooked, that's going to be a kula. If you're worried about the in terms of Bishul Akum, it may end up being a kula to assume that it's early. In terms of Bishul B'Shabbos, it may be better. So it might depend on the particular context. We'll have to see when we deal with things that are cooked and what you're allowed to do with things that are cooked and how you can heat them up. It may be a bit of an issue. So we try to be at least machmir for the Chazon Ish. If it's going to end up being a kula, that it seems like the item is not really cooked at all, and we're going to halachically view it as cooked, and that's going to be a kula, l'chora there is room to be machmer. Good? L'maisa, the Mishnah Brura, quotes both the opinion of Rashi and the opinion of...
You're saying that you shouldn't use the Chazon Ish as a kula?
I don't think so. Had you assessed it otherwise, I don't know, you have to kind of just use your best judgment. But again, as a general rule, what we'll see is when we talk about things that are cooked on Shabbos, we try to be very careful and basically treat everything as raw until it's fully cooked. And not only because of this reason, but it's partially because of this reason, because it's hard to figure out where we can be makel on this. The Mishnah Brura does quote both, I think, in that opening Mishnah Brura, right? In Aleph? Is that where he quoted it? I don't see it right now. I think it was over there somewhere. Okay, we'll find it... We'll find it later or not, but the Mishnah Brura does. Did I write down where it was? No, the Mishnah Brura does. The Mishnah Brura does quote both opinions, so we are machmir even. I mean, if